Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We were talking about the police and the contentiousness that exists between them and, generally speaking, broadly speaking, across and the African-American community, and whether that's going to get better anytime soon. Don't think it is. Probably going to get worse. Now, what can we do? As Christians, we can pray about the situation, and we can, you know, I guess the best thing we can do is love one another,
right,
and treat one another with respect and try to be helpful in situations.
But sometimes things take on a momentum of their own.
Right.
And you know, there's a Bible verse, I can't remember, I think it's in Proverbs, but it says, when the righteous see trouble coming, or disaster, I think, it's not just trouble, the wise man runs and hides himself. Okay, so in other words, you don't stand outside if a tornado's coming. You know, if you're wise, if you're foolish, you do. So sometimes there's things that take on a momentum of their own. I think Christians should do everything they can to be peacemakers and to pray. But the devil's been at work in this country for a long, long time, eroding away the foundations of righteousness. And I just think judgment is upon us. And, you know, I don't mean to be negative, you know, or pessimistic. I think ultimately God will send revival to this country, but people have to be on their knees before revival comes. And I just see God's hand pressing harder and harder, heavier and heavier upon this country. And I'm generally an optimistic person.
Right. But, well, because of what I mentioned last half hour, it's going to happen weekly or every couple of weeks or every month or so, you're going to get a new videotape because, unfortunately, the high crime rate among young black males is going to put them in confrontation with police on a regular basis, and something's going to go bad.
Right.
And then the video is going to go up, and we're going to be having this conversation all over again.
Yeah.
And you're going to I hope I'm wrong. Hope this is the end of it, but I don't think that it will be. But you know, but both sides seem to me, you know, people say, well, I'm not, can't appreciate what it means to be a African-American male, for example. Ironically, you don't find African-American females in confrontation with the law. You would think if it was just sheer racism, you'd find African-American girls being gunned down or 75-year-old man being pulled over and
right,
pistol whipped by white cops. But it's only that, you know, only that demographic of young black males that seems to be in confrontation,
yeah,
with the police officers. But what I wanted to say was about that is there's things you can, I'm not an African American, I can't identify with that experience,
right,
but I also can't identify with the experience of being a cop.
That's true.
So I've never been a cop, so I don't know what it's like to be a cop either. So it seems to me, though, that there's things on both sides that can be done. I think David Brown, the police chief in Dallas, talked about, and others have talked about, especially African-American police chiefs,
right,
building, whites too, white police chiefs, building community relations.
Yes.
They're putting a lot of effort into that, which is good, where you know, go into the
schools.
Well,
you meet people, yeah. You
go into the schools, you get to know the kids, and you don't, that way you're not seen as a, you know, an army.
Right.
You're seen as the local police department who's here to help and build.
That's a good point. You're not an occupying,
yes,
army.
Yes. Yeah, so the police need to, and they are doing this, they need to do more of that, probably.
Right.
I don't know how, but and they're trying to do it because it builds
A little bit of trust. And trust seems to have evaporated. And
yeah,
then again, I stress the radical groups take advantage of that,
right,
to try to cause trouble.
But the police, so they can do, the police can control that, I think, and do a better job. And again, I'm critiquing from the outside, do a better job of that. But I've heard police chiefs say this is what,
right,
we're doing, then we need to do more of that. On the other hand, you got to say, well, what can be done in the African-American community so that we're not having our young men
right.
run into trouble with the law. Unless you believe that the law, by that I mean the police, are seeking out trouble with African-American males, young African-American males. If you believe that, that's a whole different issue.
Right.
But if you just believe, if you just say, okay, how can we reduce the confrontation between young black males and the police? You have to ask, I think those within the African-American community have to ask, what can we do
right.
on our end to reduce the crime among our young men? Maybe it's put a new emphasis on marriage and family.
Right.
You know, maybe we need to do that.
Because I'll tell you, let me just jump in on that one. You know, my personal opinion is, I think it's a biblical opinion, is that one of the reasons why children need their father, their biological father, in the home is that the father teaches respect for authority. Not that moms don't do that, but there's another level up.
You think
with
this
the dad
is a biblical principle?
I think this is a biblical principle, and therefore, if the father is not there, as is the case in the majority of black families in America, these young men don't grow up with a respect for authority. So now when they're bumping heads or coming into conflict with law enforcement, that's just another authority figure that they have a problem with. And I think part of the solution to this, there may be all kinds of things that can be done, like you're saying. Part of the solution is, as the black church brings that biblical emphasis of marriage and family, staying together, you'll have more black, because you didn't have this kind of crime amongst young black men in the 50s. You didn't have that, and things were far worse, at least in the South, for the black community in terms of overt racism, but you didn't have that high percentage of young black men in conflict.
No, they were shut out of white society completely.
Right. So if it was they
were really discriminated against.
Right. But there was a lot more successful.
But the
black
irony
businesses.
Is what you're saying.
Right.
You're saying the black family was intact, thus you didn't have the
crime.
Even though you had the persecution.
Even worse, overt racism in the South. You couldn't even use the same bathrooms. We all know the Jim Crow.
And you're
laws.
Saying the main factor in that is that the family was intact in the African-American
right.
community.
And you had a lot more success in terms of black businessmen owning their own businesses. Now, I'm not saying go back to that. Please don't misunderstand
no,
me.
No, but you're saying
I'm saying the breakdown of the family has
led
biblical
to this.
Consequences, and that's part of what we're seeing. And it's increasing in the white community
so
and
you
the
think,
Hispanic
you think,
community.
So you think if 73% of white children were born out of wedlock, it would be the same thing.
It would be the same thing. I'm saying it's not attached to being black. It's attached to the breakdown of the family. And as the white family continues to break down, and as happening in the Hispanic community, you're going to see crime increase in those demographics as well. If you have kids who are raised to obey the law and respect authority, they do that at school. They do that in society. You have less conflict with the police.
But if you don't have that, and they have attitudes.
Right. Well, that's human nature, right?
And they flip the cop the bird.
That's human nature. Would you have ever, no matter how you were treated, I would never have flipped off a police officer, no matter what was done to me, because I knew when I got home, my dad would kill me.
Right. Well, I agree. The respect for authority. And you know what? You do what the police say, even if you feel like you've been wrong. There have been times I've been pulled over, and I want to say, what are you doing? I was going 10 miles over. You're writing me a ticket? Really?
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling.
Right.
Okay. I don't smart off to the cop.
That's
yes, sir. Here's my license. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
And you're not
and you move on.
That's
what you do.
I'm saying you're not respectful to the police outwardly because you're white. I'm saying you're respectful because you were taught that, and you had a dad at home growing up that you knew you'd have to answer to. So I'm not trying to overgeneralize. There are plenty of moms.
You see the blue lights behind you? Okay. Every one of us, you see the blue lights in your rearview mirror. What happens to you physically?
Nervous.
Okay.
Is it authority? It's my dad pulling me over.
But I know, right. But wouldn't that even happen to you today? If you get pulled over,
Yeah, it happens to you. You're talking about my physical reaction?
Everybody does that.
Yeah, my heart starts to hammer.
And so you're in a place of...
Respect.
You better...
Yes,
respect,
sir.
You respect the badge. You respect the... he's got a gun.
He does. And can haul your tail to jail.
Yeah. So you yes, sir, no, sir, comply, and you move on.
And if your civil rights are violated, you get a lawyer afterwards. But in that moment, you do what
you get an attitude, and you start smarting off. That's going to raise and increase the possibility for something bad going on.
Right. Okay? Handcuffs.
And that's something you can control.
Right.
That's within your control. And so I'm just telling you that talking to police, the last thing a police officer wants to do today is have to come into conflict with a young black male because they know the potential for things.
I just don't believe that. Now, there may be some psychotic.
So they're not looking for this.
Right.
Cops at a vast general rule, they're not going out looking for trouble. But that's what the Black Lives Matter, a lot of these folks say that they are. They're saying that the white cops get up every day and sort of take the attitude, you know what, take me out some black punks today, all right? And if you believe that, that's a totally different world from reality, in my opinion. But that's going to lead to hate and rage and anger. And you start putting that stuff on social media, and then you see three or four things happen within a week on TV, and you just go, man, the world, we're at war with the world here.
Yeah.
It's time to take out some white people. I mean, that's a type of attitude you can...
Anybody would do that if they believe they're cornered.
They felt like they were under siege.
Right, if you're cornered. And the fact of the matter is, my understanding, again, I've never been a cop, but the amount of paperwork and the interview process and the review process just for pulling out your gun, let alone discharging it, makes a cop's life miserable. They're not wanting to pull their gun out.
No.
They're certainly not wanting to fire it. And they're certainly not wanting to go to prison if some jury says you did wrong. So I'm saying 98% of cops are not looking for that kind of trouble.
If you think your cops are going out looking for trouble with young black males, then that is not true.
Right.
That is just not true. For the reasons you just mentioned, it makes their life miserable.
It does.
So... hey, we want to turn our attention to our next topic, which is we're going to talk...
Whiplash, but
we're going to change subject matter now and talk to Dr. Alex McFarland. We, along with Dr. McFarland here at AFR and AFA, produced a video series that's very helpful to Christian families. It's called The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. It's authored by Dr. Alec McFarland. He's one that appears on our video series teaching these lessons, and he joins us now. Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, man. I certainly have enjoyed listening to your conversation. Very good.
Do you have a physical reaction when you see blue lights flashing behind you, Alex?
Oh, yeah, it's like a punch in the gut. And I think, what was I doing? Was I speeding?
Did I
not use my signal? Because... the law enforcement officer represents authority.
I got one of those tickets. I coming back from vacation last year in South Mississippi. I was driving home from Destin, Florida to Tupelo, Mississippi, and the police officer, I pull up the convenience store, and the police officer pulls up behind me and says, see your driver's license. I'm going, what? He goes, well, you didn't completely stop at that red light, that stoplight back there.
Yeah. Mm. Did you get a ticket?
I thought... Seriously, you're pulling me over because I didn't come down to zero? I came to 2 miles an hour? I did not say that.
No.
I felt that.
Yeah.
I did not say that. I handed him the license. I bit my lip, and he went back to the car. He wrote me a ticket. I had paid $65 or something like that. That was an injustice.
And listen, my wife always tells me you have a bad
attitude. It wasn't an injustice either because I didn't stop.
Right.
I didn't stop. I came to 2 miles an hour.
On the other hand, I was going to say on the other hand, to me, that a lot of times for communities, that's a cash cow.
Oh, but these little small towns?
These small, yeah. This
they got to hit those vacationers, man. They got
That wasn't a public safety issue. That you weren't a threat to public safety.
No.
You, but
no,
you,
he had to meet his quota.
You broke the letter of the law.
I did.
And they went cha-ching.
I did.
And now I understand that if you don't do that at 2 miles
an hour.
I did
tell him I didn't have any money.
You told
him spend it all on vacation. I didn't know how I was going to pay him.
Hey, guys, but listen to this.
He should have got me on the way down there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Over the weekend, somebody took me to task. I was at a major conference, and I just simply said we need to pray for the bereaved families of the officers in Dallas. And a lady came up, a Caucasian lady, and she began in front of all these people. She said, "Do you not believe there's a war on blacks?" And I said, "Ma'am, I don't believe there's a war on blacks. I'm sorry that altercations have happened, but I said I've been in 27 prisons to preach, and I know dozens of law enforcement officers. In fact, Bert and I last Friday on Exploring the Word, we had the number one sheriff in North Carolina on, and I was explaining. I said, "Ma'am, officers are under such a sea of paperwork. I mean, if they so much as wish somebody good morning, they have to fill out a report." and I said, "I know literally dozens of law enforcement officers across this great nation, many of whom are Christians, some of whom aren't, but 999,000.9% are not looking for any trouble." And, you know, she said, "Well, you've got to understand that for most black males, the idea to interact with an officer is just very burdensome." And I said, "Well, you know, with all due respect, what I say to young people, and I speak to 150,000 teens a year, I've got a plan that will minimize the interaction you'll ever have to have with a cop over the course of your life. Obey the law."
Yeah.
Obey the law, and the times you'll ever have to interact with a law enforcement officer over the course of your life will be minimal. But, you know, yesterday on The View, Whoopi Goldberg was debating with Candace Cameron, who's a Christian, and Whoopi Goldberg was reiterating the mantra "Black Lives Matter." And so I was asked by a journalist, "What's your response to that?" And I said, "I would love to ask Whoopi Goldberg if Black Lives Matter, do unborn Black Lives matter?"
Mm.
And if unborn Black Lives do matter, which I agree they do, do all unborn lives matter? Because the fact is, and I know you all know this, and listeners know this, but all lives matter. We, in this country, we've got to recover the ethic that life is sacred in all contexts.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we got to communicate that as Christians, black, white, whatever color, ethnicity we may be, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord first.
Amen.
Hey, Alex, In the book and the video series, 21 The. Is it The or just 21?
The
21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity.
Folks, right on.
Which, folks, you can find out all about this video and book at afastore.net. Just go to afastore.net, afastore.net, $39.99. You get the DVD with all the teachings of the 21 toughest questions with Dr. McFarland, the curriculum, the book, the book, the teacher's guide. It's all there. It's a complete set. It's kind of a turnkey program for your church or for your small group. All right, you asked the question. Question number 13. You answer in your video series.
18. We're on
18. My apologies. What is the question you ask?
About hypocrisy. And we interviewed a lot of young people ages 5 to 12, and one of the questions, and this was really from kind of the adolescent, you know, 11, 12, 13, why are Christians such hypocrites? And, that is a thing. You know, there's the old saying by D.L. Moody, out of 100 people, one might read the Bible, but 99 would read the Christian. So what we have to help our kids understand is there are times when people who aren't Christian might look like they are, and there's sometimes people who are Christians might look like they're not. But we're not calling people to follow a person that might let you down, but we're calling people to follow Jesus Christ.
Are you talking about the question you answer, why are Christians such hypocrites? That's what you address in here.
Yeah.
You're saying that's what kids might ask this. They hear this at school or from others. Yeah. They might ask their parents, why are Christians such hypocrites?
Because here's what they're asking. Your child is asking, you know, why should I follow a faith that even its own believers don't follow? And that's a very, very valid question. And really the impetus is on all of we adults, the parents and adult leaders, that look, if we are a follower of Christ, he should really be Lord of our lives and our behavior should model that.
Yeah, but hypocrisy is going to be around, has been around forever and will be around forever.
That's
And you know what? It's a matter of degree, because we're all hypocrites.
We are.
If I sin today and yet I proclaim to be against the sin, I'm a hypocrite, right?
That's right.
Okay, then we're all hypocrites, because all of us do what I've just described in one form or another, one degree or another. Now, if you have somebody living a habitually or openly sinful life, and then they claim to be a Christian, that may be that's a different degree of hypocrisy.
Just my opinion is, I think Christians can act hypocritically, which is what you just described. A hypocrite, which is someone who's doomed to hell, okay, is a person who practices hypocrisy on a regular basis. So I would say that the person who
we're
is living
saved hypocrite.
I would say that. Okay, I would say that's. I would say that's probably less of that today, because why do you want to pretend to be a Christian in today's culture? It doesn't benefit you anyway.
Exactly. But you know what? What kids want, this is what I say to moms and dads as we're trying to pass the faith on. Kids, they want to see authenticity.
Yeah.
And the good news is this generation.
And God wants to see it.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And our Lord deserves it.
Amen.
But these kids today, man, they are ready to give all to something worth dying for. I think there's a wonderful ethic of discipleship in the lives of many kids.
Hey,
what they're hungry for are adult leaders that
Alex,
are the real deal.
What is in this, what have we put together here that people can order and get, which they will benefit from?
Oh, bless you. Okay, we've got the book, The 21 Toughest Questions, based on all these interviews, up-to-date research. But then with American Family Studios, we've got 12 video lessons that we've created, and there's a student book, there's a workbook, and there's a leader's guide. It's all in a very beautiful box, and for $39.95, this is perfect, folks, for your small groups, for your Sunday school, for your Sunday night, $39.95.
You get all that?
You really do. You get four items: book, DVD, leader's guide, workbook, and it's
in a
amazing
beautiful box. You said,
yeah, it's
because
all this
boxes
kit.
Aren't usually beautiful.
Well, I know, but this
but in
you
this case, you
it.
Get all that and a beautiful box, which you could probably reuse to
you
grab
can,
a Christmas gift in.
But the most beautiful part of all is we're going to equip the upcoming generation to stand strong for Jesus.
Amen. So if you want to order the 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity, all you need to do, order all that Alex just mentioned for $39.95.
Right.
That's an amazing price for all that. You can call and use your credit card and order by calling this phone number. This calls us here at AFA, our store, 877-927-4917. 877-927-4917, and we do accept credit cards. If you want to go on the internet and order this, it's easy and see it. It's easy to do at afastore.net, afastore.net. This will greatly benefit you, your family, your church, your youth group. It'll answer a lot of questions that young people have about their faith. My thanks to Alex McFarland and Ed Battagliano for joining me today on this program. Keep listening to American Family Radio. Have a wonderful day, everybody.